At a recent campaign event, it sounded more like 2010 than 2012.
I think it's time to take the gloves off. Take the gloves off.
That's Jack Kimble giving advice to Paul Ryan during a rally in Dover. You may recall Kimble. He ran for governor as a Tea Party candidate 2 years ago and parlayed that into a brief stint as Republican Party chairman. Party leaders forced him out just 7 months later. But as the applause suggests, there is still plenty of appetite for Tea Party-style rhetoric and also an appetite for strong conservative candidates, politicians who won't compromise their principles or fall under the label of moderate. Atop the ticket, Mitt Romney has had trouble proving those credentials, and that worries some conservatives.
I don't pretend to speak for the Tea Party, but I think there is clearly a level of frustration among some of them that Mitt Romney is probably not as conservative as they would have wanted.
Corey Lewandowski is state director of Americans for Prosperity.
That said, when you get into the sanctity of the ballot box, people need to make a decision.
That choice between a candidate that doesn't motivate hardcore Republicans and a president that conservatives loathe frustrates Jerry DeLamis, former chairman of the Granite State Patriots Liberty PAC.
I am so tired of the lesser of two evils for our vote. America deserves better than that. We have people over fighting in Afghanistan, Iraq, around the world for us, and all we can come up with is the lesser of two evils to vote for.
DeLamis concedes there's one vote he is eager to cast. It's for his wife, Susan. She was one of many lawmakers with Tea Party roots who gained seats in Concord in 2010. That was no accident. Conservative groups in New Hampshire focus on down-ticket races. And in 2012, instead of sign-waving, many in the Tea Party are now candidates, canvassers, and fundraisers. Carolyn McKinney runs the Republican Liberty Caucus in New Hampshire.
Most of the Tea Party types that I know, there's no enthusiasm drop there. They're actually just spending a lot of their time trying to further the movement in other ways, in ways that aren't necessarily as publicly visible, but that are just as important.
McKinney's group, for example, worked to weed out moderate Republicans in the September primaries. It targeted six incumbents who voted against so-called right-to-work legislation. Meanwhile, Americans for Prosperity went after candidates who supported the regional cap-and-trade system known as REGI. Lawmakers like Peter Bolster of Alton found themselves caught in the middle.
Unfortunately, it's a situation in which it's a very narrow line that the Republican Party, unfortunately, has gravitated to the point that people that at one time in the legislature were considered fairly conservative are now basically considered to the left wing of the party.
Bolster lost his primary bid to a more conservative candidate. Dean Spiliotis, a political scientist at SNHU, says that even though staunch conservatives did well in the primaries, this November will be different than 2 years ago, when a midterm election kept turnout down.
This presidential election is going to bring out a much broader demographic of voters, which may serve to dilute the influence of the Tea Party a little bit.
Democrats certainly hope so. Many candidates, from gubernatorial nominee Maggie Hassan on down, are trying to use the Tea Party label as a campaign tool against their political rivals. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman.